Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my pastor, Brian Hurlbut, pastor of Lifeline Community. Why don't you give a brief commercial here? We have two campuses.
Yep, we have two campuses. One is our West Campus, which meets off of 6200 South in Kearns, just over the West Jordan border there. And then we have a South Campus that meets just off of the highway in Draper. So our West Campus meets at 9:30. Our South Campus meets at 11. And same exact service at both places, and I teach at both. And the Lord is just really growing, blessing our church right now.
He has. It's been great. In our last broadcast, we were talking about demonization because Dr. Mao makes a big deal out of that. And if you haven't caught our broadcasts up until this point, they are online. Go to mrm.org, click on the box that says On Air, and you will get a complete list of all of our shows, not just this series. But we are looking at a book written by Dr. Richard Mao, Talking with Mormons. He is the president of Fuller Theological Seminary. He probably, his big claim to fame or infamy in this valley was his comments in 2004 when he accused evangelicals of bearing false witness against the Mormon people and what they believe and what the Mormon Church actually teaches. So he's written a book on his private discussions that he's had with Mormons over the years, and he offers a lot of criticisms to, well, people like myself, and I would say even people like you, Brian, even those who are pastors trying to minister in this valley. And let's be serious. You cannot pastor in this valley without at some point coming in contact with Mormonism full on. You're going to have to address that at some point because a lot of the people here that are struggling with their faith, their Mormon faith, are going to come to us for answers.
That's right.
And we need to address them and hopefully answer them in a way that's going to help them in their journey into eternal life, if you will. But he talks about demonizing on page 17, and we've already talked about how he says that typically the countercult people note the doctrines that Mormons deny and then simply warn us against Mormonism on that basis. I've decided to pursue a more probing approach, to ask Mormons to clarify what it is they're denying and what teachings they're offering as an alternative to traditional Christian doctrines. For him to imply that people such as myself or even people such as you do not do that is horribly misleading.
Absolutely.
When he talks about these same people that I just mentioned, they demonize Mormonism, portraying the beliefs and practices of the Latter-day Saints as of the devil. At the bottom of the page, he says, this is precisely what I want to be cautious about, accusing others of being tools of Satan. And he says in that same paragraph on page 18, wrongly to demonize a person who is not a demon is itself a terrible thing. And evangelicals have to be careful not to sin against Joseph Smith and his followers by setting up false devils. First of all, when I read sinning against Joseph Smith,
it's a little startling.
That is a bit startling. But what is to demonize? To demonize is to express someone as being evil or diabolical. I certainly would not give that title to the average Latter-day Saint. I just wouldn't. I have talked to so many Mormons, and my heart goes out to them because many of them are very sincere people. And for many, especially in Utah, this is all they know.
You know, real quick, when I moved here, one of the encouragements I got from a fellow pastor is that I was leaving a culture that disagreed with my beliefs and my values and coming to a culture that disagreed with my beliefs but shared many of my values. And that's one of the things I value most about living here, is that I got some great neighbors, some wonderful people.
You won't hear it from our lips that Mormons are demons.
No.
We don't say that. Again, in the circle that I run around, that's just not what we say. Now, there could be some that are saying that. I probably would have had more respect for what Dr. Mao said on that evening in November in 2004 if he had said, there have been some who have borne false witness. Now, to bear false witness means to knowingly lie about somebody. Now, there may be people doing that. They're not the friends that I hang around with. Does it mean that we can get something wrong innocently get something wrong? Of course we can. But if we do, we are open to the correction that a Mormon will hopefully express to us. And some of them have tried. I have an email that I need to respond to right now where this Mormon is insisting that they don't believe that they're saved by works. Now, I'm going to respond to that, okay, because I do believe that is a part of Mormonism, and we're going to discuss that in this series. But I think to say that we are trying to demonize the Mormons is just not true. But when he says sin against Joseph Smith, how does that resonate with you?
It doesn't resonate overly well. And part of it is what he goes into later on. It doesn't resonate for two reasons. One is that it is the very thing that he is doing to counter-cult people. In other words, this is in a chapter called Beyond Counter-Cult. He's described why his approach is a better approach than those who take this counter-cult approach. And it seems to me that he's demonizing a whole category of people where your ministry, Bill, is a certain expression of a counter-cult ministry. But I've seen lots of counter-cult ministries, and yours is a different expression than a lot of them. Mm. And a lot of them are wonderful. And so it just feels like he's doing the very thing he's accusing people of doing to Joseph Smith, to the counter-cult ministry. But the second is he makes this distinction between false teaching and false teachers that I guess I struggle with when I see it. And the reason I struggle with it is not that false teaching and false teachers can't be categorized differently. I could teach something that is false without realizing it, number one, or with being very convinced that on a lesser issue of doctrine that I have interpretively wrong, but I'm convinced by, for some reason, of my own hermeneutic or what have you. But he makes a statement, and it goes like this on page 21. I suggest this as a rule of thumb. Focus on false teachings rather than on false teachers. When we concentrate on opposing false teachers, we tend to think about defeating people, which can lead to all kinds of dangers. When we concentrate on the careful examination of false teachings, we're more aware of the need to speak truthfully. My difficulty is this. When I read Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, when I read Peter, 2 Peter 2, they talk about false teachers. They talk about false prophets. They talk about what lies behind, unknowingly to some of them, but what lies behind false teachers and false prophets. And so if Paul and Peter are comfortable under the inspiration of Scripture to talk about false teachers and false prophets, it seems odd to me that Richard Mao would advise against what Paul and Peter are doing, and I wonder, would he advise Paul and Peter the same?
I think it needs to be emphasized, too, that the Mormon leadership itself has warned their own people about false teachers. Bruce McConkie in his Doctrinal New Testament Commentary, Volume 2, page 459 says, "And who is a false teacher, a false minister, a false prophet? Anyone who does not teach the truth, minister the elements of true religion, or prophesy truly of what is yet to be." He's not the only one that uses that expression, that phrase. And they have warned their own people about false teachers, not only outside of Mormonism, but within Mormonism. Mm. They have talked about false teachers. Would you say, though, a false teacher, because you gave an analogy that there's always the possibility that behind a pulpit we can say something that's inaccurate, that is false. But what if you're confronted on it and you continue to keep teaching these things? Wouldn't you tend after a while, depending on the severity of it, that you would probably fall into that category?
Sure. Absolutely.
And when he says, talking about Joseph Smith, you know, sinning against Joseph Smith, but he says that we should be careful not to demonize, wrongly to demonize a person who is not a demon is itself a terrible thing. And evangelicals have to be careful not to sin against Joseph Smith. Wait a minute. Joseph Smith's personal behavior was many times atrocious.
Absolutely.
He would send people out on missions and then hit on their wives while they were gone. And in one case I know of specifically, he would marry that woman. So this guy comes back from serving as a missionary in his church to find out his wife has married the very founder of his religious movement.
Right.
I mean, Joseph Smith did some horrible things, and I would have to assume that a person who claims to speak for God and is supposed to be the voice for God and is continually teaching things that are opposed to what the Bible has to say on these issues, and he's unrepentant about it.
That's right.
Are we to ignore that?
That's what's so startling when he makes the statement, sinning against Joseph Smith. When I read that, in my mind, I'm thinking, wait a minute. We're sinning against a false teacher that brought with him a lifestyle that ended up causing oppression for a number of people mm-hmm. in different ways, that divided people. I think it's just so unhelpful as a Christian engaging Mormonism to soft pedal or to buy into the glorification of Mormon history. That's not helpful because that's not dealing in the facts of what actually happened.
Yeah, when you look at the life of Joseph Smith especially, and I'm only harping on that because he talks about sinning against Joseph Smith, I wouldn't want that guy for my neighbor. And I think, and I have said this many times, that if most Latter-day Saints carefully looked at the life and behavior of Joseph Smith, they would not like the man. The reason why so many Mormons will sing Praise to the Man, which is a song in the Mormon hymn book, is I think because they don't really know who the man is, other than what they have read in faith-promoting material that is produced by the church. If they were to read more books, let's say produced by Signature Publishing, which a lot of faithful Mormons don't like Signature Publishing, they don't like George Smith, who's the head of it, because his books tell a side of Joseph Smith that is not flattering. And they know from the teachings of guys like Boyd Packer that there's parts of history you shouldn't discuss if it makes the Mormon leadership look
well,
bad.
Let me ask you this, Bill. You've studied this stuff for years and years. Would Joseph Smith, if he were living today, fit better in Salt Lake or would he fit better in Colorado City?
He would fit much better in Colorado City. And you make a very good comparison there because I think the fundamentalist Mormons certainly are holding on to a Mormonism that is more in line with what Joseph Smith was teaching and what Brigham Young was teaching than what Thomas Monson is teaching. That's why the people in Colorado City and the fundamentalist groups look at the Salt Lake Mormons as being apostate.
Right.
They see them as apostates. The same with the group down in Manti and others that I've talked to. They think that they have left the Mormonism that Joseph Smith was sent by God to restore, you know, the Christianity that he was sent to restore. They think the Mormon church has lost it and no longer teach it. So I think you're right. He would probably fit better down in Colorado City.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.